Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father." In the context of our text today, after speaking to the woman, the one who is living in sin, Jesus spoke to her of living water, which is in truth the gospel which saves us. Saves us eternally as we are in the faith created by the Holy Spirit. In our text today, Jesus focuses upon worship. In this day, we need to recognize something. Few people worship the true God. Many claim to worship God, but they want to worship Him on their own terms, making their God fit their own imagination, or perhaps we might say their feelings. Of this we ought not to be surprised, for indeed St. Paul told Timothy, describing the work of the messenger of Christ, that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn their ears from the truth and will turn aside the myths. Our world, indeed our church, is in a crisis. It may seem that it has been in a crisis forever, but today it's even worse. How many of us haven't heard, how could a loving God allow so many people to be lost? Or He must have another way for them to get to heaven, or God is known by many names and worshipped in so many ways. Jesus said, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The truth of which Jesus speaks is absolute. A survey of Americans a couple of years ago said that by a 3-to-1 margin, moral truth is relative. 83% of the teens embraced relativism, while 75% of those from 18 to 35 said that moral truth was whatever. In January 2000, 44% of Americans said that the moral truth was absolute. By November of 2001, that number was down to 22%, and it's still there today. Only 22% of Americans believe in absolute moral truth. But perhaps more shocking than that is this, that only 32% of Christians professing a personal commitment to Jesus Christ said they believe in moral absolutes. And the number of Christian teenagers, only 9% of them believe in absolute moral truth. The result is, according to the pollster George Barna, that a substantial number of professing Christians believe that abortion, gay sex, living together outside of marriage, and viewing pornography are morally acceptable. How do you feel about this? Is there absolute moral truth? Is there absolute spiritual truth? It doesn't matter how you feel, there is indeed absolute moral and spiritual truth. Jesus dealt with a woman who was ashamed to be seen in public. Unlike today, where living together is considered to be socially acceptable, she was an outcast. She was coming to the well in an arid, hot area. In the sixth hour, that's noon, at high noon, she's coming out there. Not coming in the cool of the morning with a group of women or in the late afternoon with the same group. No, she slipped out to get her water in the heat of the day. And to this woman, Jesus offered the gospel, and He offered living water. Jesus also taught her about true worship. He said, "We need to worship in spirit and truth." And the truth is this, Jesus alone is the source of the living water. Jesus alone is the source of eternal life. He alone was sent to redeem the world. As Peter declared to the crowd in Jerusalem, "Let it be known to you all, to the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole." This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Scripture claims to be the truth, and we ought to believe it. The facts are these. Jesus took our place. Salvation is from the Jews. Jesus came to redeem the world, and there is no other way of salvation. But every year, hundreds of thousands of Muslims still gather in pilgrimage, not in Jerusalem, not in Gerizim, but in Mecca. The worship experience called the Hajj is demanded by people, demanded of the people. They must go there. How can so many be so wrong? Well, the truth is, they're not listening to the true spirit. Jesus said, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. He wasn't saying that their worship would move from Jerusalem and Gerizim to Mecca. He said that there was no longer going to be only one specific place for worship. No longer Jerusalem, no longer Gerizim, and certainly not Mecca. Jesus said that Jerusalem, though it would be the place where he would be crucified, where he would rise from the grave, would not be that place where we must have our annual or once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage, where we must go and worship. There is no place. For God's word said in Malachi 1, from the rising of the sun to even its going down, my name shall be great amongst the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. The hour of the establishment of a new worship was at hand there as Jesus talked to the woman at the well. It would begin with the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Christ and his dispatching of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. God would be worshipped and praised, for in Christ and in him alone, he had rescued the world from sin and its eternal death penalty. There is true worship. Worship in truth is the worship of our triune God as we gather around his word and his sacrament. His sacraments truly feed us, as does his word. His sacraments and his word give us life. True worship is that which is through the work of the Holy Spirit as he enables his servants to proclaim the word that frees. And as he forgives sins through his called pastors, as he feeds us with his word and delivers forgiveness to us. The worship of the Samaritans and of the Jews was no longer that of the true Father. The Jewish worship had degraded into that of ordinances most established by men, shadows with no substance. It was not the worship through the Holy Spirit. Jesus came as the fulfillment of the law. He came to give his living water to the world. For it is not in the works of man, the pilgrimages, or our obedience to the law that saves, but in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.